Chivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shyamakund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Navadvip Dham Ki Jai. New Dwarka Dham Ki Jai. Jamuna Maya Ganga Maya Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Garantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Their Divine Lordship Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish Ki Jai. Their Divine Lordship Shri Jagannath Baladev Srimati Subhadra Ki Jai. Their Divine Lordship Shri Gornitai Ki Jai. Gaura Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories to all assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to all assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to all assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, Gorsu Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the third canto, chapter 3. And 16 and 17 are our verses today. 16 does not have a purport, so I'll read that. And then we'll read 17 together. So as we see here, we're going to discuss Abhimanyu, and who's a very great, dashing warrior. And some of the different aspects there brought in from today's verse and purports. So here's the verse. Evam Sanchin. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. Evam Sanchintya Bhagavan Svaraje Stapya Dharma Jam Nandayama Sasurida Sarunam Vartmadarshayan. Translation: Lord Sri Krishna, thus thinking to himself, established Maharaj Yudhisthira in the position of the supreme control of the world in order to show the ideal of administration on the path of piety. So today's verse, Uttarayam Drita Puror. Uttarayam Drita Puror. Vamsa Sadva Abhimanyuna Vamsa Sadhu Abhimana Yuna Sa Vai Droni Astra Samplusta Sa Vai Droni Astra Samplusta Punar Bhagavata Drita Punar Bhagavata Drita Uttarayam Drita Puryor Vamsa Sada Vimanyuna Savai Droni Astra Samplusta Punar Bhagavata Dritaha Uttarayam Drita Puryor Vamsa Sadhu Abhimanyuna Savai Droni Astra Samplusta Punar Bhagavata Dritaha Uttarayam Drita Puryor Vamsa Sadvabhimananyuna Savai Droni Astra Samplusta Punar Bhagavata Drita. That I am Dita Puyor. Nam Si Sada Vibhanya Ba. Svayamu Jantasunya. Narbhagavadutaha. Tadaya Dita Puyor. So Sada Vibhanya Ba. Svayaposna Svamsa Punya Bhagavata Pancha Vaitarayam Dita Purur Vamsi Sada Vimanyanaha Svayadonya Strap Samplusta Punar Bhagavata Dita Vaishnavis, Uttaradita Purur, Vamsa Sadvabhimanyana, Svajdronyastra Samplushta, Punar Bhagavata Dita, Uttarayam Dita Purur, Vamsa Sadavimanyuna Savayajonyastra Samplusta Purnar Bhagavata Dritaha Uttaram Drita Purur Vamsa Sadavimanyuna Nanyastra Samplusta Punar Bhagavata Dittaha Uttarayam Unto Uttara Drita Conceived Puro Of Puru Vamsa Descendant Sadhu Abhimanyu By the hero Abhimanyu. Sa, he. Vai, certainly. Droniastra. By the weapon of Droni, the son of Drona. Samplusta, being burnt. Puna, again, for the second time. Bhagavata, by the personality of Godhead, Drita was protected. Translation. The embryo of Pru's descendant, begotten by the great hero Abhimanyu, in the womb of Uttara, his wife, was burnt by the weapon of the son of Drona. But later he was again protected by the Lord. Please repeat. The embryo of Pru's descendant, begotten by the great hero Abhimanyu, in the womb of Uttara, his wife, was burnt by the weapon of the son of Drona. But later he was again protected by the Lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The embryonic body of Parikshit, which was in formation after Uttara's pregnancy by Abhimanyu, the great hero, was burnt by the Ramasta of Asvatthama. But a second body was given by the Lord within the womb, and thus the descendant of Pru was saved. This incident is the direct proof that the body of the living entity, the spiritual spark, are different. When the living entity takes shelter in the womb of a woman, through the injection of the semen of a man, there is an emulsification of the man's and woman's discharges, And thus a body is formed the size of a pea, gradually developing into a complete body. But if the developing embryo is destroyed in some way or other, the living entity has to take shelter in another body or in the womb of another woman. The particular living entity who is selected to be the descendant of Mara's Pru, or the Pandavas, was not an ordinary living entity. And by the superior will of the Lord, he was destined to be the successor to Mara's Yudhisthira. Therefore, when Asvatthama destroyed the embryo of Mara's Prikshit, the Lord, by his own internal potency, entered into the womb of Uttara by his plenary portion, just to give audience to the would-be Maharaj Prikshit, who was in great danger. By his appearance within the womb, the Lord encouraged the child and gave him complete protection in a new body by his omnipotency. By his power of omnipresence, he was present both inside and outside of Uttara and other members of the Pandava family. Wow. Om Gyana Tamananda Shaganjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitamina Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitamina Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Guru Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakopa Tubis Jakripasindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Okay, so the verses again. Lord Sri Krishna, thus thinking to himself, established Mara's Yudhisthira in the position of supreme control of the world in order to show the ideal of administration on the path of piety. The embryo of Pru's descendant begotten by the great hero Abhimanyu in the womb of Uttara, his wife, was burnt by the weapon of the son of Balada, again was protected by the Lord. So here's an artist's conception of Drona, who was a great, powerful teacher of the great warriors. And the whole reason why Asvatthama became very perturbed at the Pandavas is because he was killed, supposedly unfairly. And we know the story where Yudhisthira, who we know is Dharmaraj himself, never even thought of anything immoral. So what to speak of telling a lie? So Krishna told him that, you know, Drona is just creating havoc on this battlefield. It's like a tidal, not like a tidal wave or like a huge tornado. He was just wiping everybody out. Yeah, he was just wiping everybody out on the battlefield, and they had to put a stop to it. So Krishna knew that he was very much attached to his son, Asvatthama. So if he was in danger, he knew that Drona would just stop fighting. So they told him, tell Drona that Asvatthama is dead. And Yudhisthira's like, what? He's not dead. So he hesitated, and Krishna understood and said, okay, just tell him that Drona, no, Asvatthama, the elephant who just happened to die, be killed in the battle, is dead. So he said, okay. So this is what Yudhisthira said. Drona, and then as soon as he's saying Asvatthama, and then when he's going to say the elephant, Krishna immediately blew the conch shell. And he edited out that part, the elephant. So all he heard was, Drona Asvatthama is dead. So then immediately he was like, and just recently Bhima had insulted him. And that insult really cut him because it was true. Because he was there when Draupadi was being disrobed. He was there when the Pandavas were being poisoned and so many different things, but he didn't do anything. And Bhima was calling him out on that. And then now his son is dead, so he just decided to just sit down in the chariot and just become his Brahman, aspect that he was, you know, he's like, that's his Brahman Leela. So then he just sat down, was meditating. And then what happened? Dhrishtadyumna immediately just charged him and cut his head off. And they're like, you know, when he was charging, what are you doing? And he's like meditating. And he goes, no, I was born to kill him because his father, Drupada, was insulted and defeated by Drona. So he wanted to get even. So he had Dhrishtadyumna and he had a son and a daughter. The son was to kill him and also his daughter was to help to marry Arjuna, who would also defeat him. So anyway, that's the history of why Aswatthama became so disturbed about this that he wanted to just wipe out the Pandavas. So that evening he killed those five sleeping sons of the Pandavas, and it wasn't enough, so he tried to kill the Maharaja Parikshit in the womb of Uttara, which was Dhrishtadyumna's wife. So here we see, as mentioned in the purport, that Krishna is within and without. And this is where actually Kunti was speaking with Krishna. And at the same time, Krishna was speaking with Kunti. He entered into the womb of Uttara. So he was within and without. So Prabhupada talks about that. And he mentions, he says, Queen Kunti experienced personally that Lord Krishna was present before her, yet he entered the womb of Uttara to save her embryo from the attack of Aswatthama's Brahmastra. So this is very interesting, this Brahmastra. It was a very fine, advanced science of sending the most powerful weapon to kill your enemy. But it wasn't indiscriminately killing everything around it, like we see today with our bombs. It's like today Russia, you know, is planning to attack, or there's so many wars, so people are required to just leave because, you know, you might get injured. So all the citizens have to leave or take shelter, so many different things. So this Brahmastra was not that blind, but it actually would just hit its target and not destroy anything else. In fact, he sent it into the womb just to kill the embryo, you know, and not bother the mother. This is very amazing power. So it's not a, Prabhupada says, he calls them blind as these atomic weapons. So they're discharged and they like today, they don't discriminate between the target and other innocent people. So there's a nice purport I like to read where Queen Kunti, this was from the first canto, 8th chapter in the purport. Queen Kunti affirms that the Lord, although both within and without all living beings, is still visible. The Lord is, so to speak, a puzzle for the common man. Queen Kunti experienced personally that Lord Krishna was present before her, yet he entered into the womb of Uttara to save her embryo from the attack of Aswatthama's Brahmastra. Kunti herself was puzzled whether Sri Krishna is all-pervasive or localized. In fact, he is both, but he reserves the right of not being exposed to persons who are not surrendered souls. This checking curtain is called the Maya energy of the Supreme Lord, and it controls the limited vision of the rebellious soul. There was the Brahmastra released by the son of Dronacharya to kill the child within the womb of Uttara, and so the Lord saved the only surviving descendant of the crews, Maharaj Parikshit. So here we see the embryonic body of Parikshit, which Prabhupada talks about in the purport. It was information in Uttara's pregnancy by Abhimanyu, who is a great hero. And that Brahmastra actually burnt the body. But it's interesting, it's very interesting that even though the body was burned, Parikshit Maharaj was still there observing. You know, I guess his soul was there. He had no body. But Krishna appeared to him and encouraged him and he gave him a new body. So this is amazing. So this is a very important part of the. They say that there's many, many events that are very, very important in our life, like our marriage or death or something, birth. But they say, actually, no, the most important part of your life is this particular aspect in the womb. They call it the gastrulation. And it's a major biological event. And it occurs early in this embryonic stage of the human development. Actually, in the first 7 weeks, actually, this is when the embryo is developing, and it's very important. And then that's even before it's called a fetus. But even then, it has so many features and things that are very, very important. So we can see the soul is there. It's developing the body. And some people think that it's not, you know, there's nothing there, but actually it's there. So I'd like to read a purport here from the 1st canto, 12th chapter. And it describes the Lord when he appeared there. It says, the Lord was only thumb high, but he was also all transcendental. He had a very beautiful, blackish, infallible body. And he wore a dress of lightning yellow and his helmet of blazing gold. Thus he was seen by the child. The Lord is all-pervading by his inconceivable potency, and thus he entered the womb of Uttara to save his beloved devotee, Maharaj Parikshit. So in the next verse, in the purport here, describes, the Lord was enriched with four hands, earrings of molten gold, and eyes blood red with fury. As he lorded about, his club constantly encircled him like a shooting star. So Prabhupada, here, there's a nice purport. Prabhupada quotes from the Brahma Samhita that it says, the Supreme Lord Govinda, by his one plenary portion, enters into the halo of the universe and distributes himself as Paramatma, or the Supersoul, not only within the heart of every living being, but also within every atom of the material elements. Thus the Lord is all-pervading by his inconceivable potency, and thus he entered the womb of Uttara to save his beloved devotee, Maharaj Parikshit. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord assures everyone that his devotees are never to be vanquished. No one can kill a devotee of the Lord because he is protected by the Lord. And no one can save a person whom the Lord desires to kill. Excuse me. The Lord is all-powerful, and therefore he can both save and kill as he likes. He became visible to his devotee Maharaj Parikshit, even in that awkward position, in the womb of his mother, in a shape just suitable for his vision. The Lord can become bigger than thousands of universes and can become smaller than an atom at the same time. Merciful as he is, he becomes just suitable for the vision of the limited living being. He is unlimited. He is not limited by any measurement of our calculation. He can become bigger than what we can think of, and he can become smaller than what we can conceive. But in all circumstances, he is the same all-powerful Lord. There is no difference between the thumb-like Vishnu in the womb of Uttara or the full-fledged Narayan in the Vaikuntha Dham, the kingdom of Godhead. He accepts the form of Archa Vigraha, worshipful deity, just to accept service from his different incapable devotees. By the mercy of Archa Vigraha, in the form of the Lord in material elements, the devotees who are in the material world can easily approach the Lord, although he is not conceivable by material senses. The Archa Vigraha is therefore an all spiritual form of the Lord to be perceived by the material devotees. Such an Archa Vigraha of the Lord is never to be considered material. There is no difference between matter and spirit for the Lord. Although there is a gulf of difference between the two in the case of the conditioned living being. For the Lord, there is nothing but spiritual existence. And similarly, there is nothing except spiritual existence for the pure devotee of the Lord in his intimate relationship with the Lord. After the battle, Maharaj Yudhisthira was unhappy over such mass killings. practically, there was none to continue the Kuru dynasty after them. The Pandavas, the only remaining hope was a child in the womb of his daughter-in-law, Uttara. And he was also attacked by Asvatthama. But by the grace of the Lord, the child was saved. So here we see the heroism of Abhimanyu. And this is the image of the Chakravyuha. It's a very impenetrable form of battle formation. And this is talked about here. There's a quote I found here that talks about that. As an unborn child in his mother's womb, Abhimanyu learned the knowledge of entering the deadly and virtually impenetrable Chakravyuha from Arjuna. So he learned it in the womb. Can you imagine that? And not only this one, but it's described that he learned other various vyuhas. Like there's the Makara Vyuha, the Kurma Vyuha, Sarpa Vyuha, etc. So what happened is Arjuna was explaining to his wife, Subhadra, all these different vyuhas. And then when they got to this Chakra Vyuha, he was explaining how to enter it. And then he noticed that Subhadra, his wife, was falling asleep, so he stopped. So Abhimanyu didn't learn how to actually break out of it. So he knew how to enter it, but he didn't know how to get out of it. So this was the amazing ability of this Abhimanyu and how he learned these different vyuhas. So this is him in the battle when he entered the vyuha. And he really proved himself so expensive and detrimental for the Kaurava army. He destroyed 3/4 of an Akshuhini army single-handedly. And we heard from Bhrigupati what an Akshuhini is the other day. It's a military composition consisting of 21,870 chariots and the same amount of elephants. And had 109,650 infantry and 65,600 cavalry. That's an Akshuhini. Can you imagine that? Such a powerful warrior. If it's been in modern movies, I don't think they could imitate that, what a fighter would be like that. Even though I did find a movie, it was a Hindi movie, was describing, actually depicting the battle. Of course, they had special effects. And it was pretty cool how he was fighting and what he did. It was just amazing. He was a Maharati. And one-on-one, none of those Maharatis can defeat Abhimanyu. So what they had to do is all these Maharatis had to gang up on him. And they cheated. And they killed him. But he was willing to give his body and his life to serve Krishna's mission. Because Krishna wanted this battle. And Yudhishthira had to make the decision, a quick decision, because Arjuna was on the other side of the battlefield fighting another war with Krishna. And this Chakshuvyuha was creating havoc on the battlefield. So he approached Abhimanyu, said, "You have to, sorry to ask you this, but you have to do this, you know, and we're going to come right behind you and we'll protect you. We'll enter with you and we'll try to protect you." But what happened is they tried to enter, but they were blocked. And therefore, he was in there all by himself fighting. So anyway, I have a link to the video if anybody wants to see it. I don't know if it would be appropriate to show it now. But anyway, I'd like to read something. This is from a purport in the 3rd canto, 14th chapter, 5th verse. It's a very nice verse. Saruvirya tvaya pristam avatara katam hare Yat tvam prichasi martyanam mrityu pasha vasatanim. And this is just in the purport. I'll just read that to save time. A devotee has no taste for hearing anything mundane. There are many topics of mundane warfare, but a devotee is not inclined to hear them. The topics of warfare in which the Lord engages do not concern the war of death, but the war against the chain of Maya, which obliges one to accept repeated birth and death. In other words, one who takes delight in hearing the war topics of the Lord is relieved from the chains of birth and death. Foolish people are suspicious of Krishna's taking part in the battle of Kukshetra, not knowing that his taking part ensured liberation for all who were present on the battlefield. It is said by Bhishmadev that all who were present on the battlefield of Kukshetra attained their original spiritual existences after death. Therefore, hearing the war topics of the Lord is as good as any other devotional service. So, that's nice. And then I had a lot of information about Abhimanyu. I mean, there's so much about him. I mean, we don't have enough time to mention everything. But as you know, he's a key feature in this Mahabharata. He's a son of Subhadra and Arjuna. And Subhadra is the half-sister of Krishna. And they said that Abhimanyu is a partial incarnation of Chandra, considered equal to Arjuna in prowess as far as bow and arrows. He was amazing. And he spent his childhood in Dwarka, you know, in his mother's city, and he was trained by Pradyumna, the son of Sri Krishna and Arjuna. And he was brought up under the guidance of Krishna too. So his father arranged for the marriage to Uttara, who was the daughter of King Virata, to seal an alliance between those royal families, the family of Virata, because they knew the war was probably imminent. And then, I guess he's the grandson of Lord Indra, who is the god of mystical weapons and wars. So anyway, in his death, the Kauravas are the first ones to break the rules of what they call Yudhaniti, which is the rules of battle. I mean, there's actually rules that they followed. Like if you're fighting someone, you know, another party shouldn't interfere and kill you while you're fighting somebody else, or, you know, shoot them from behind, or, you know, things like that. But the Kauravas broke that rule. And then once it's broken, then it's no need to be followed on the other side either. So then it just turned, you know, went crazy. So that's what happened. So on the 13th day of the battle of Kukshetra, that's when the Pandavas were using this, Kauravas were using this Chakravyuha and just wiping out the Pandavas. So they were challenged. So that's when they sent in, you know, this young warrior Abhimanyu to do that. So he successfully broke into it, and they tried to follow him, but there was a benediction by Jayadratha that he wanted to be able to kill the Pandavas from Lord Shiva. But he said, no, you can't do that. But what I can do is let you hold them off for a day. So this is when he used that benediction to hold off the Pandavas from entering that Chakshuvyuha. And this is what happened. So Abhimanyu was caught in there by himself. So this is what happened. Anyway, there's so much information about him. But anyway, we may think, why did Krishna protect, you know, Parikshit Maharaj in the womb, and why didn't he protect Abhimanyu? And, you know, but we may look at, protection doesn't necessarily mean protecting the body, because Abhimanyu's mission was to serve Krishna, and he was willing to give his life in the service of Krishna. And in dying, he performed greater service than living. And how was he protected? He went back home, back to Godhead. And he's also glorified forever as a great warrior and someone who's selflessly serving Krishna. So whether we live or die, Krishna will protect us. So we just should be thinking of how best we should serve Krishna. So this is Jayadratha. He became so angry at the same time that he was actually so angry, but yet at the same time he was lamenting for his son. And there's an interesting lecture Srila Prabhupada was giving. There was a recording of Srila Prabhupada. There's some, I guess it was an Indian scholar or professor. He said, how is it You know, Krishna was teaching Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. So Arjuna must not have understood Bhagavad Gita because he was lamenting for his son who died. So how is that? And Prabhupada explained very nicely that actually it's natural for parents to lament and cry if something happens to their children because they love them. You can't stop that. That's human nature. But the reason why Arjuna is transcendental, even though he lamented for his son, he didn't blame Krishna and say, Krishna, don't have faith in you anymore. You could have helped save him. Or did he stop his service? He lamented, but yet he didn't stop his service to Krishna. So this is how he was transcendental. So after Arjuna heard this despicable acts committed by to his son, you know, Arjuna, we know, vowed to kill Jayadratha the very next day by sunset. You know, and he said, if I don't kill him by sunset, then I will, you know, immediately enter the fire and I'll self-immolate myself. So Arjuna, that day, they made plans to, like, make it very hard for Arjuna to get to him. But eventually, you know, he was just wiping out the army like nothing, you know. And what happened is Krishna made an arrangement that there was an eclipse, right, of the sun. And it appeared in Jayadratha's thought that, oh, yeah, sunset. So he stood up above the soldiers and he was mocking Arjuna, you know, and taunting him, you know, ha, you have to commit suicide now, you know. But then as soon as that happened, the eclipse, you know, went away and the sun came shining. And then Krishna said, yes, the sun is not set. Actually, it was an eclipse. So Arjuna picked up his weapon and cut off Jayadratha's head. So that's a whole other story, but we don't have time for that. But that's an amazing story. So it's just like Krishna entered the womb, you know, of Uttara. And sometimes Krishna enters into this mature world, which is like a womb, which is full of miseries. Actually, in the womb, it's a lot of miseries. It's not a very comfortable place. It's actually a very filthy place. There's many worms and so many things. So in the mature world, we are here. It's not a very clean place. It's not a very pure place. But Srila Prabhupada has come to help us get rid of all these impurities of the heart. And that's the key. That's the key. How we get to the spiritual world is to become pure. So this is what Prabhupada wanted us to develop, this purity, and enter into ISKCON, which is actually non-different than his compassion and his mercy. So this is how we get on the boat. And so no matter what happens, you know, Prabhupada gave us this mercy vessels of ISKCON and the BBT, you know, to get rid of all these impurities. And no matter what happens in the future, leave ISKCON. Because Prabhupada has unlimited mercy and we could take advantage of this. So Prabhupada wanted us to develop this, like Yudhisthira was so truthful. He wanted us to have this movement based on love and trust. So if you can't trust somebody, then how can we actually develop love or develop associations like that? So Prabhupada wanted that we should live according to this dharma, this truthfulness. And then what happens? Purity of mind. We have purity of speech, purity of body, all these things. You can imagine a society of men and ladies all with this purity, chanting the holy names of Krishna, performing this sankirtan. And this is the key to converting everybody in the mature world. So we're so fortunate to have the gifts of Srila Prabhupada in the forms of these books, you know, this transcendental knowledge so that we can become pure. And also in the form, as we mentioned, the deity form, which Krishna appears so wonderfully, so that we can accept our service and become pure. So this is our position, and this is Srila Prabhupada's vision for us to go back to the spiritual world. Get out of this filthy place. Go back home, back to Godhead. Okay, so I'd like to end there and open up. Anybody has comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Okay, I have two questions. One question is, the Kshatriyas on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they actually love being Kshatriyas. They love killing and they love fighting. They're really into it.
Yeah.
So,
I'll repeat if I could hear you. Yeah.
One question is, that was, I guess, for the comment, but one question I have
Yes, anything is possible. And actually, you are participating in that war right now. In Lord Chaitanya's mission, you are a Sankirtan warrior. The modern Jedis who are actually out there performing Harinam Sankirtan, distributing books. You're actually fighting against Maya. It's a battlefield you're in. And many casualties have happened. Devotees may become overcovered by Maya, so many things. But if you just maintain our purity, then yes, you are a warrior. So we're in that pastime right now. This is Lord Chaitanya's soldiers. And Srila Prabhupada is the great general in Lord Chaitanya's mission to, you know, help these conditioned souls get out of this, you know, very horrible place. What a, you know, horrible place. So yes. But yeah, if you want to take birth in some battlefield, maybe Krishna will give you that desire. But you're already in a battlefield. Yes, Prabhu. If someone chastises you real loud in the temple room, yeah, if you're chanting too loud to disturb other devotees, Srila Prabhupada actually did that. Devotees are complaining against, I think it was Jai Patakamara was just chanting too loud in the temple room. And the devotees are complaining to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, yeah, you should chant softly so you don't disturb the devotees. But if you want to chant loud, just go out into the forest or go outside and chant as loud as you want. So that's what he did. He went outside and just did, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Go chant as loud as you want. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.